language school and now are actually working in the hospital and other ministry areas in Ecuador. So Steve is going to come and share. It's good to see him again, and Lord bless.
Fire up the laptop here. First thing I want to do is say thank you to everyone. Thank you to all of you for your prayers and for your support, your financial support, and your personal support, your encouragement that you've given to us, our home church here. Wow, what a support you all have been. Password. And it's just really great to be here and to sing songs in English for a change. That's been really, really good. Although there were times when yo quiero hablar en español, I mean, when I want to speak in Spanish. But I'm going to try to stay in English for most of the time today. The last several times that I've spoken before groups, it has been in Spanish. So we'll adapt, I think. As Jim said, we're working with HCJB Global. We've been away from here for 3 years, 2 years in Ecuador, 1 year in language school in Costa Rica. And the place we're at now is in Shell. It's probably about halfway down the Andes Mountains on the eastern side towards the rainforest. We're at about 3,500 feet elevation and working in Hospital Vos Andes del Oriente. Oriente means east, so we're in the eastern hospital that HCJB has. I'm the director of the hospital now. I've been in that position for about a year and a half. And Diane manages the guest house, does guest ministries. Sometimes we have working visitors come down. We have people come, short-term teams, as many of you have been, as we have been. We stay in the guest house. Diane manages that. She also is involved in a girls' club for missionary girls, and they meet every Wednesday afternoon where Diane is teaching them things about the Bible, things about being a young woman, and that's going very well. She also substitute teaches at the Nate Saint Memorial School, which is an English-speaking school that we have in Shell for missionary children, not just HCJB. It's a fairly large missionary community there, missionaries from different organizations, Mission Aviation Fellowship. And I think I mentioned last year we have a couple of people from the CIA, that's Christians in Action. you got to be careful when you talk about that particular group. But no, it's really it's good to be serving there. And God is doing some wonderful things in Ecuador, as I see he's doing wonderful things here, too. That's really great. The hospital is a small hospital. It's 28 patients, but we have several services. We have general surgery. We have outpatient, laboratory, X-ray, ultrasound, EKG, dentist. And the most important office, in my mind, in the hospital is the chaplain's office. We provide physical care, but we also provide spiritual care. And I keep telling people that it doesn't matter how excellent our physical health care is, if that's all we do, we're no better than anyone else. We're no better than the government hospitals. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be caring for people spiritually as well. Now, we've changed a few things from last year, and we're instituting some new programs, and I'm excited about some of the things that are going on in the hospital. We have 62 Ecuadorian employees and about 44 missionary people, including 19 kids. So we have some missionary families there. But we've been in administration trying to teach the Ecuadorian department heads some things about budgeting, some things about finance, some things about running their own departments that they've never had to do before. And this is good for them because it gives them a sense of ownership to be part of the mission, to be part of the ministry, to be part of what's going on there. And more than one of them has come to me and said, "Wow, we didn't know how to do this before." And it's great that we can be part of this. We're trying to develop a team in administration, whereas before it was just the missionaries that always did all of that. And honestly, it would probably be easier to do it myself than to help other people and teach other people, but the rewards are great when you take the time to invest in other people and to teach them and to help them to learn and to help them to grow. So we have weekly meetings with the leadership team and then monthly meetings with department heads and then quarterly meetings with all of the employees just to share what's going on. One of the things that we've done, too, is implemented or offered employee Bible studies on their company time, if you will. So they can take 45 minutes a week, and the chaplain or someone from the chaplain's department leads Bible studies, so they can grow spiritually too, so they can get excited for the Lord, so they can get excited for the things that are going on around them and around us. Now, I've been trying to tell people and tell myself too that we need to be concerned about the patient. We need to be concerned about the other people. So we're trying to teach people about, well, you'd call it customer service in the business world, but the Bible talks about thinking of others. And I'm guilty of that myself. I realized one time I saw someone who works in the information area, and they're the person that somebody sees when they first walk in the hospital. And I saw her sitting there, and the person would come up and say, yeah, can I help you? Yeah. Okay, just a minute. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, okay. And so after she got done with that particular transaction, I went and talked to her, and I said, yeah, just another day, huh? Just another patient. Yeah. Yeah, just patient after patient, emergency after emergency. It gets old after a while, right? Yeah, kind of does. Well, you know, I can understand that it's hard. But think about it from the other person's perspective. For you, and for me maybe, it's a job. We do it day in and day out. But for that individual, that emergency that they have, that sickness that they have, that problem that they have is the single most important thing in their life at that moment. And we have an opportunity to serve in that moment. So we need to put our personal preferences aside and serve as Jesus would serve. I mean, Jesus was tired, but when the little children wanted to come to him, it wasn't Jesus that said, nah. It was his disciples said, nah, leave him alone, leave him alone. Jesus said, no, bring it. Bring him on. Jesus never refused anybody. He was always willing to serve, and we need to do the same thing. I found myself being guilty of the same thing. My office is about three doors down from patient services, servicio al paciente. So my office is here, patient services is here, and the doctor's offices, the outpatient doctor's offices, are here. Sometimes when a patient wants to know the cost of a surgery, the cost of something, they have to go to patient services. But a lot of times they'll walk right by patient services, and mine's the last office, and they're standing there with a piece of paper, and they're looking around. And they'd say, I need to know the cost of this. And I'd be sitting there and say, you're looking for patient services? Yeah. It's a couple of doors down on the other side of the hall. You mean down by the lab, which is the other side of the hospital? No, 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 just across the hall, there's a sign over the door. And I'm thinking to myself, can't you read? Come on. And then, after seeing this person in information, I caught myself and said, is that the way I'm supposed to treat that person? But I'm a busy guy. I've got lots of stuff to do. And, this that I'm working on, this budget, the signing these checks, man, that's important. I can't be, wait a minute. So now, what I do, when I see that person, and they still come, they still walk right past that door and end up in my office with that piece of paper. I say, oh, you're looking for patient services. Here, let me show you where it is. And I get up and I walk out to them. And I say, come on, it's right down here. Here you go, right here. And if there's nobody in the patient services office, I'll take them in and introduce them to the person. And if there's someone there, I'll say, well, here's the waiting area. If you just sit here for a few minutes, she'll be with you as soon as possible. And I got to believe that that makes a difference. I know it makes a difference in me. It changes my heart to behave like that, to act like that, to think of the other person instead of thinking of myself. Yeah, I have to go back and sit down at my desk, and it takes me a couple minutes to find out where I was, but so what? So what? That stuff is still going to be there. But lives are touched, and we need to touch lives for Jesus. Sometimes it's only a cup of cold water, as Jesus said. Sometimes it's only an act of kindness in a Christian environment that the person will put together, and God will eventually use that to bring them to the Lord. But how many times do you hear people say, ah, those Christians, they're mean-spirited. You know, no, we just can't be that way. So we're trying to work through that kind of attitude in the hospital. And it's working. It's working really, really well. We now have probably 15 out of the 62 employees who are a core group, and they're all excited about, hey, we can do this. Hey, we can do that. What if we do this? What if we do that? What if we go here? And we've started to participate in health fairs with the other government hospitals. We started to participate in things with the Ministry of Public Health. We started to get out in the community and do screenings and brigades and get out there. You know, it's like Ron just said, we're not all huddled up in our little Christian corner. We're getting out and doing stuff. And our hospital has been, unfortunately, huddled up and not gone out. And we're starting to do more of getting out in the community. See, 10 years ago, the Shell Hospital was the only hospital in the area. But since 2006, 2007, the government has been investing heavily, and now there's three hospitals within 10 miles of our hospital. We used to be right on the main road where the old hospital was, but in 1985, another hospital was built back here, and in 2007, the old hospital was torn down. So we didn't even have a presence on the main road. The area has grown considerably. John, you wouldn't recognize it. I can't imagine the changes since 2003, the first time that we went there with John Robertson. Unbelievable, the growth and the change that has taken place. So we need to be a light. We need to be a beacon. And so we're starting to do more publicity. Dare I use the word marketing? Sometimes in Christian context, people think marketing is a swear word. And yet, and maybe it can be, but what did Jesus tell us? He said, go and tell. Well, what's that? That's publicizing who we are and what we're doing. We're trying to do that more. We're in the process of developing our own websites, one in English and one in Spanish, with different purposes. Because, yeah, the internet is in Shell. And a lot of people are using the internet, and they want to find us and find out what our services are and what we do and what our purpose is and why we exist. Let's put it on a website for them. And in English, people here, you can go to the HCJB website and you can get a little blurb on what's going on, but if we have our own, we can communicate more clearly, more up to date, what's going on. More radio presence. I asked the question the other day, so why are we just advertising on Christian radio stations? Most of the Christians in the community come to us because they know what services we offer. But most of the secular world listens to the other stations. Why not publicize who we are and what we do on some of the stations that the people are listening to that we want to reach? Why not do a little bit of that? And as I mentioned, visits to communities, too. We're getting out there. One of the persons that's helped me a lot to do that is our ophthalmologist, Stan Pletcher. He's been there for about a year now, and he's got a vision. He's one of these guys. Have you ever seen these goal-oriented guys that, man, I got to get there, and they're going, and it doesn't matter? He's like that, except he has a heart for people. I mean, I've seen plenty of people with a heart for people who just don't have a goal set. I've seen plenty of people who want to get someplace, but they leave a trail of dead bodies behind them. Stan combines the two, and he's always coming up with ideas, and the two of us are putting things together as to how can we share the gospel? How can we bring Jesus to this spot of darkness through, from his point of view, ophthalmology, but through healthcare in general to be the hands of Jesus? Jesus healed people too. And in all of this, there is the tendency sometimes to treat the hospital as a business. And that happens when we look at the finances, because giving is down. Since HCJB changed from HCJB World Radio to HCJB Global, and they've gone global, the donations have gone down to the Latin American region. So we don't get as much donation money anymore. So, oh man, we got to cut expenses. We got to generate income, or what's going to happen? We've got to have this business model or that business model. There's a tendency to think like that. But I always go back to James 4, 13 through 15, that says this. Talks about God's will. It says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. You know, do your business plan here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. No. Well, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it's the Lord's will. And this is what we've been praying is, God, what do you want for us? What do you want for Hospital Vos Andes del Oriente? What do you want us to do? How can we minister? How can we serve? How can we provide excellent health care and excellent spiritual care. How can we draw people to you? And then after people come to you, maybe through our ministry, we have relationships with local churches, so we can call up a pastor and say, hey, we just released somebody from the hospital today. He accepted Christ yesterday, and he lives about 3 blocks from your church. You suppose you could go pay a visit to him? Because we're not the church. We as the hospital are not the church. But there are local churches in the area that we're working with, and that's part of the chaplain's job, is to develop those relationships with the local churches. So we need to be good stewards. We need to rely on him for the results. We need to do things. We need to work. But we need to rely on God for the results. We can't force that. Now, there's a lot of emphasis I've seen on mission statements and vision statements and purpose and whatnot. And HCJB has a mission statement. The healthcare side of HCJB has a mission statement. And so I looked at Hospital Vos Andes and said, well, how can we say something concise and simple that people can remember, that we can use? So, okay, a mission statement is, what am I all about when I come to work? Why am I here? And I borrowed this, but you know, there are people with problems and we're giving them help. Why can't our mission be giving assurance to the afflicted? Now, you can be talking about giving spiritual hope to people who have none. You can talk about when someone comes in with an emergency, give them assurance that, yes, we're going to take care of your physical needs. Everybody who comes to a hospital has some sort of problem. They don't come because, hey, that's a nice place. I think I'll just take a walk around here. I got a day off today, so I think I'll just walk through the hospital. No. No, people come with problems, come with issues. And if we can say we're going to give assurance to the afflicted, we are going to help people wherever their point of need is, just as Jesus would do, that's where I want to be for a mission. Now, what's a vision? A vision is, where do you want to be, or what do you want to see as a result of what you do every day? Well, in a hospital environment, what I'd like to see is health in every body and Christ in every heart. I mean, that's a goal. It's probably not going to be accomplished in this lifetime, just as God says, be holy for I am holy, but we're not going to reach perfection in this life. That doesn't mean we give up and stop. No, that means we struggle and we strive and we push and we work towards that end. We're doing that in the hospital. We're working towards that end. We want people to come to know the Lord. That's the most important thing. It's an easy reminder. I love easy reminders. Long mission statements, long vision statements, while they're good, I can't remember them. I've tried, but I can't. Well, that's the mission of the hospital that we're in. But Diane and I are also involved in other things. I mentioned some of the things that she was involved in. We attend a local church about 10 minutes away from where we live in the hospital. It's called El Cordero de Dios, the Lamb of God. It's part of the Ecuadorian Baptist Association. There's about 50 people that attend on any given Sunday, and they have communion every Sunday there. You talk about remembering. What did Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of me. I got a short memory. And so they figure that we're going to celebrate communion every Sunday because we want to remember Jesus. And we've gotten to know some of the people. We've been in some of their homes. They've been in some of our homes. And it's really been a good experience to be involved and listen to preaching in Spanish, listen to music in Spanish, and get to know the people. The music is really neat, because when you learn another language, you get to learn different music, and you hear things that you wouldn't hear before. I mean, I've learned some new songs that I never knew, and I wanted to share a couple of them with you. One that you'll probably recognize, one that maybe you won't. I'm going to tell you what it says in English. I don't have the words to put up here, but the words go like this. The only reason for my adoration is you, my Jesus. The only motive for living is you, my Lord. My only truth is in you. You are my light and my salvation. My only love is you, Lord, and I will praise you forever. You are all powerful. You are great and majestic. You are strong, invincible, and there is no one like you. Pretty good words, but it sounds a little different in Spanish, and Ray has agreed to let me borrow his guitar, so I'm going to try and plunk this out for you.
Para vivir, eres tú mi Señor. Mi única verdad está en ti, eres mi luz y mi salvación. Mi único amor, eres tú, Señor, y por siempre te alabaré. Eres todo poderoso, eres grande, majestuoso, eres fuerte, invencible. Y no hay nadie como tú. La única razón de mi adoración eres tú, mi Jesús. Mi único motivo para vivir eres tú, mi Señor. Mi única verdad está en ti, eres mi luz y mi salvación. Mi único amor, eres tú, Señor, y por siempre te alabaré. Eres todo poderoso, eres grande, majestuoso, eres fuerte, invencible, y no hay nadie como tú.
And then, how many of you have heard that before? Diane raised her hand back there. Well, then sometimes there's some that we've recognized right off.
Tu nombre levantaré, me deleito en alabarte. Agradezco que en mi vida estés, que vinieras a salvarme. Dejaste el trono para mostrarnos la luz de tu trono a la cruz, y mi deuda pagar a la cruz a morir. De tu muerte a tu trono tu nombre levantaré. Tu nombre levantaré.
How many have heard that before? Yeah. So there's a mixture of both in the music, which has been a real blessing to us, because we can hear the message in two different languages. And sometimes when there's a song like that that's familiar, we'll be singing the English words at the same time, and Diane and I will look at each other and say, Lord, we lift your name on high. You know, we're doing that. But that's really been exciting to be a part of that ministry. And our pastor, what a sweet guy he is. He preaches very fast but clear, so I can understand probably 95% of what he says. I have some pictures that I'd like to show. I think I'm going to go back there and go through them. I've been told that this will work no matter where I'm standing, so you'll be able to hear me, but you just won't see me. And maybe that's a good thing. But so okay. There is the hospital where we work, and a lot of you will recognize that. How many people here have been on a short-term trip to Ecuador? Yeah, good. lot of people. So you recognize the hospital. And there's the administrator in his office. Yeah. This is one of the health fairs that we went to. That sign says managing hospital disposables. And that's becoming a big issue. The DEP, the Ecuadorian DEP or EPA or whoever you want to call them, is becoming more and more powerful, and it's a good thing to see that people are caring more about the environment. So we did a presentation on how we manage disposable things as part of this particular health fair. And that's the group, part of the group that I work with. We have birthday celebrations. Every month we have a special coffee in the dining hall where we recognize the people whose birthday it is that month. So we do have a little bit of fun at the same time. We all get together and celebrate. But there's also there's some bad things that happen. You see the young man sitting down on the right with his legs crossed. We found out after we arrived here that he was just murdered in a domestic dispute with his wife and his wife's boyfriend. And so not sure what we're going to go back to when we leave the end of July, but we will miss him. We also have missionary gatherings. This is from last Thanksgiving. Our missionary gatherings a lot of times are not just HCJB, but any of the missionary community who happens to be available to come. We also sing Christmas carols. This is the kids from the Nate St. Memorial School in the hospital waiting room, and this year I joined them to help them sing. And so we can share Christ's love in that way to some of the people who are waiting to see doctors. Some of you who have been on short-term trips will remember Marta. She's in the center, and she works in the guest house. On March 21st, her two grandsons, who are on either side of her in that picture, were involved in an explosion involving what appeared to be a piece of dynamite that they were playing with. And the boy on her right, your left, Justin, lost both his hands, and his eyesight is severely impaired. The boy on the other side, Aaron, was injured as well, but not nearly as severely. There's been a great outpouring of love, support, and funds to help with the hospital bills for these two boys. And it's been devastating for Marta. The two boys are cousins. The two ladies on the outside are Marta's two daughters. They're 7 years old and 5 years old. Now, since this has happened, I've kind of become friends with the two of them. When they're there to see the doctor or see the ophthalmologist, they stop in my office and talk. And Aaron, the one who wasn't as severely injured, has been a lot more talkative. In fact, when we went on an employee outing, you can see, maybe you can see over on the right, Diane and I standing there, and that's Aaron standing right with us. He was getting right close to the edge, and I don't know if you can see it real well in that picture, but that's about an 800-foot drop. Guardrails? What? No. And he was just kind of going right up to the edge, and his mother and his grandmother were saying, no, no, no. So Diane says, why don't you go stand next to Mr. Steve? Oh, yeah, okay. So he came and stood there and posed for the photo, and that was a good thing. There's another mission in town called Casa de Fe, which is House of Faith. And they are an orphanage. They were working last September to try and get their building done. And they put out a plea to the Shell community of missionaries to say, can you come and help us on this particular workday? So I went to the guys in maintenance, and I said, hey, guys, how would you like to serve in this way another mission? And I was amazed at the response. These guys were all over that. Yeah, we'd love to do that. We really want to help. So on their day off, we put together a bunch of tools, the pickup truck, a cement mixer, everything we thought we'd need, and we went up, and we spent the day working with Casa de Fe, because these guys have a heart for the Lord. I would say the maintenance department is our core as far as evangelism goes in that area. These guys will go out on their days off, go out to jungle villages and share and preach the gospel. And we need to encourage more of that. Yeah, Gary, what do you think of that? I don't know if you can see that is a live panel, and that blue box at the bottom has an extension cord coming out of it that's running another tool in the other room while I'm working on it. So, yeah. And Diane was there too. Diane helped out with painting and cleaning and moving things around. Diane manages the guest house, as I've said. This is a picture of the guest house. And this also has Gary's fingerprints on it, because in 2006, Gary wired the whole building in about a week and a half. And I still tell people about that. I have my Gary's electric ball cap that I wear almost everywhere, and every time people ask me about it, I tell them about my friend Gary and his heart for serving and what he did there. And there's a view of the guest house from our house over the Rose Garden. As you know, Diane has a green thumb, and you can see the evidence of that around our house. That's a duplex, and we live in the half that's closest to us. It's a two-bedroom apartment, and Diane has planted it up wonderfully. We make a good team because I do the digging, and she does the planting. So we share a dog with our next-door neighbor. Yeah. And we have chickens. And the dog could get her way into the chicken coop but couldn't get out. But she only wanted to play with the chicken. She didn't damage the chicken, hurt the chicken, eat the chicken, just play. But no, I want to get out. Please, please let me out. One prayer that has been answered is, you remember last year we really wanted to get a car. So thanks to much prayer, we were able to get a brand new 1994 Toyota 4Runner. So we're excited about that. We got that about 2 weeks before we came here. So we get to drive it a little bit before we arrived here. And it won't be that expensive to run. Regular is $1.48, high test is $2.19, and diesel's $1.03. I think it's down to 99 now, so it's all government subsidized. So I won't complain. And we use gas for our appliances too. We have gas tanks that are about twice the size of the tanks that you have for your gas grill, and they're $2 a piece. Sometimes we stop by the side of the road to get lunch on our way back from church. This is frittata, which is just fried pork with some corn and some other things, depending on what you want. One of the things that really is frustrating, I don't know if you can see real clearly on the left, is the road construction. They dug up the road to put in a rainwater drain. Then they 6 months later, they dug up the water to put in a sewer drain. Then they dug up the streets to put in regular drinking water, if you wouldn't want to call it that. But at least they're polite about it. That sign says, 1,000 pardons, we're working for you. Yeah. It's always a challenge to decide where we can drive in Shell, because every day there's a new street that's dug up. There's really no plan, and I've talked to some of the engineers about it. No, there's no plan. We'll just start over here today, and we'll fill in this street today. And there was a couple of times that they were ready to dig up and close off the emergency room access, and we had to say, no, do it this way. Oh, okay. This particular day, they cut our internet line. They don't have DigSafe either. They just dug right through, cut our internet line, so we decided to hang it overhead this time instead of burying it. So we were without internet for half a day and telephones. And that's just another picture of the road all dug up. Now, everybody wants to get into the act. I don't know if you can see those two kids. They're on their little Tonka trucks, and they saw the grader go by, and they're out there digging. They want to be just like the big guys. That was kind of cute. As I mentioned, Diane does Girls Club with the missionary girls. This is what our entryway looks like every Wednesday afternoon when they come in, drop their backpacks and shoes, and head out onto the back porch to do a variety of different things that Diane is teaching them. And there's Diane with the gang. And another picture of them acting up before the camera. She also has substitute taught in the Nate St. Memorial School, and that's a picture of one of the classrooms there. These are some of our friends, Mauro and Narcisa. Narcisa is now covering as administrator in the hospital. She's the director of the laboratory and laboratory services, and she is very, very capable. She has taken to this budget stuff and this administrative stuff like nobody's business. So she's covering. We're in email contact, and there are issues that come up, but she's doing a great job from what I can see. These are some friends of ours from Sweden. We have, like I say, there's missionaries from all over the place. These folks have left now. They left June 15th. They left after we arrived here in Maine. As you can see from the sign, Wi-Fi, we're in a restaurant in Puyo, and they got a Wi-Fi zone, so internet is getting big. One of the really neat things that we were able to do last year is go to a village called Makuma, which is about a half-hour flight from Shell, for the dedication of the Bible in the Shuar language. This has been going on, this work had been going on for years and years. And so we were able to go to that dedication. That's the landing strip down there, taken from the side of the plane. And that's the landing strip taken from where I was sitting in the co-pilot's seat. And it's not really, it's a little clearer on the monitor here. The person, the older gentleman sitting there with the blue ball cap, is Frank Drown. I don't know how many of you have heard of him. He wrote a book called Mission to the Headhunters. He was the one who found the five missionaries, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and the three others in 1956. He was the one who led the mission to, it was supposed to be a rescue mission, but it didn't turn out that way. But he was in the village of Makuma for years and years and years, and he is retired, but came for this dedication. Yes, the Word of God in their own language. And that is so precious to have. And they were excited about it. It was a hot day, and they went on for hours just talking and exclaiming about how wonderful it was. We had lunch there, and all of us Americans reached for our germ lotion there, the antibacterial stuff. And the community development folks said, no, we're trying to teach these people to wash their hands before they eat, so they need to see you doing it. So it's all mud around there. So Diane went over to wash her hands and then used the antibacterial lotion. Yeah. And that's the lunch. It was, what's in the foreground is fish wrapped in a banana leaf, and there's just plantains spread all over the table and a bowl of some kind of soup. And we ate it, most of it. Diane always attracts a crowd. When we were waiting to go back, she was just talking to the little kids. As you know, if you know her very well, you know she just loves kids, and they are just attracted to her like anything. So she was showing them knitting and talking a little bit, asking them their names while we were waiting for the plane. Probably can't tell, but she's sweating pretty good there too, because it was really, really hot. This is our church, Iglesia Bautista, El Cordero de Dios, associated with the Ecuadorian Baptist Convention. We have a courtyard. We have some Sunday school rooms over there. The one in the middle with the red roof and the red door, that's the bathroom. We've been able to do a variety of things there. This was at our Christmas program where Diane and I, along with one of the ladies in the church, was able to share a song. And that's the kids waiting for their little trinkets at Christmas. This is our pastor and his wife. Their two kids, Amy and Jared. And she's pregnant in that picture. And there's her baby. Yeah. Sometimes we have meetings out in the courtyard. Little lunchtime and game time after church. One day last December, we went out to the river to have a service out there. We went about 45 minutes on a road like this, and then had a mini church service there with some singing and sharing of the word, and then went swimming in the river and had some lunch. It was a great time. Flip through these real quick. It was good food. It started to rain, as usual. And this last slide, that's the Nate Saint House. That's the house that Nate Saint built in 1948. It's just recently been renovated, and last October was the dedication ceremony. That's about a quarter of a mile from our house. So that is owned by Mission Aviation Fellowship. So coming back up front. Got my running shoes on. I said, we appreciate your prayers, and we'd like to ask for your continued prayers as we continue to serve down there. We thank you for the answered prayer for our car. I'd like to ask you to pray for Diane's continued recuperation. She had her surgery for total knee replacement on June 7th, and she's sitting in the back right now, and can't wait to get that ice pack on, probably. So I better talk a little faster here. And we need wisdom to know what to do and strength to be able to do it, especially in administration. It's very hard because I've lost 2.5 people in administration over the last year, so my workload is going. It has risen quite a bit. Please pray for finances for the hospital. We've had people give for the charity fund, and that seems to be doing okay. We need to pay the light bill. We need to pay the employees. Pray for the caravans and the screenings and the brigades that we do as we go out, as we get out of our little cocoon and get out and share the gospel and share what we're doing at HVO, Hospital Vos Andes. Pray for teams. We used to have teams. There's times when we'd had 10 teams a year. Last year we had 2. This year we've had 1, and that was only an accident. We have so many project items to do that teams could do, mostly general labor stuff, but there's other things that do need to be done. Physical health and safety are always an issue. There's a lot more crime in Ecuador. Where we are in Shell, it's not as bad, although thievery is rampant. Everything has to be locked up. It's funny, I drive around here and I see people that have things out on the side of the road with a sign on them that says for sale. No, if it's out there, it's for free in Ecuador. Everything is behind fences. So pray for safety and relationships with different missionaries. One of the things that we see down there is there's different, how shall I say this, theological persuasions, different doctrinal distinctives. And I've been in a men's Bible study where we have different people from different backgrounds. And my admonition is, look, guys, we got a lot more that unites us than what divides us. So when we study, we're looking at the central issue of Jesus Christ. We're not going to talk about our doctrinal distinctives, and you know what they are, is what I say to the people. We're not going to talk about that stuff, at least in this context. And pray about our plans for the future. Last year, when I was here, I shared Colossians 4:17, which is right towards the end of Colossians in the greetings section, where Paul says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And that's on my heart, to complete the work. And yet we want to look towards the future as to when we might be finishing our work and coming back. We would need to find someone to carry the torch, someone to proceed from there. We'd like to be back maybe in between 1 year and 2 years. We're not sure. We're seeking the Lord's will on that. So please pray with us in that regard. Do you have any questions? Anything on your mind? Anything you'd like to know? No. Well, I'd like to say we're going to hang around for a long time after the service, but we're going to get Diane back where she can lay down a little bit. We're staying out at Lymington at our camp. We'd love to have visitors. We're here in Maine until July 31st for her recovery. So come on out and visit. You can get our phone number from Ron. Give us a call, and we'd love to have you come out and say hi. Let's pray together as we close this time. Lord God, I just thank you so much for what you're doing around the world.